From the Center for the Advancement of the Steady State Economy, this is The Steady Stater, a podcast dedicated to discussing limits to growth in the steady state economy.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Brian Check, and our guest today is Gary Wachner. Gary's a wide-ranging, fun-loving environmental activist and writer, and his work is informed by a PhD in environmental geography from the University of Colorado. If there's a theme running through Gary's work, it's rivers. He's helped to protect many of them, but his most famous efforts have been for the Colorado. In fact, Gary is the founder of Save the Colorado. Their mission is to protect and restore the Colorado River and its tributaries from the source to the sea. Gary Wachner, welcome to the Steady Stater.
Thanks for having me on, Brian.
Yeah, now let's get down to what Save the Colorado actually does. According to the website, Save the Colorado, and I'll quote now, Save the Colorado focuses on fighting irresponsible water projects, supporting alternatives to proposed dams and diversions, fighting and adapting to climate change, supporting river and fish species restoration, and removing deadbeat dams. Gary, I want us to discuss these objectives one at a time, but first, I think it's safe to say that none of them are destined for success if the goal of Colorado, the Southwest, and the USA is GDP growth, right?
I think you've hit on a key component there, Brian. About 2 years ago, I started talking about growth and population growth more here in the U.S. because it was increasingly apparent that, you know, all my work is could be for naught because growth is literally kind of devouring the landscape as well as devouring our rivers. And so we do actually work on all those issues. What Save Colorado focuses on more than anything is trying to stop new dams and diversions. Almost all of those are for new growth, economic growth and population growth. And so, even though we don't directly work on growth, it's a key driver of everything we're trying to deal with.
Right. Yeah. So I guess that's why Save the Colorado has endorsed the CASI position calling for a steady state economy. And we might even say that Saving the Colorado is a steady state economy. But okay, now let's take those objectives one at a time, just briefly apiece for now. Let's start with the first thing on the list, fighting irresponsible water projects. How do you actually go about that, Gary?
Sure. And for most water projects, you know, they're dams, diversions, or pipelines, or something like that. They require federal, state, and local permits. And once the, applicant, and it's usually municipal agencies, trigger a permit process, then it causes a public process to occur. And so we can provide comments to the permitter and the permitting agency, whether it be a local, state, or federal government. And then we can also intervene with litigation if we need to. And Save the Colorado is involved in several lawsuits right now trying to stop new proposed dams and diversions, in addition to all sorts of commenting processes throughout the Southwest United States, but especially in Colorado, Wyoming, and Utah is where a lot of our work happens.
Oh, okay. So it sounds like you'd have to have a lot of expertise with the National Environmental Policy Act.
Yeah, the main laws we work with are the National Environmental Policy Act, otherwise called NEPA, the Clean Water Act, and the Endangered Species Act at the federal level. At the state level, it's usually the Clean Water Act, and then the local level, it can vary depending on where you're at, whether you're in Colorado or Utah. But once they want to do some major construction project, it generally triggers a permit process, and that's how we can get engaged.
Okay. Well, now, how about the objective of fighting and adapting to climate change? And how strongly do you connect this problem of climate change to the plight of the Colorado?
Well, in the Southwest United States, we've already seen about a 20% decline in the amount of water in the Colorado River over the last 20 years. And the climate scientists attribute the majority of that to climate change. And they also predict that they could be up to another 20% or even more by the year 2050. And so we're a completely a science-based organization, and the science and the scientists are all putting a big red flag on the Colorado River. There's literally a bullseye painted on the Colorado River because it's a hot, dry climate already, and it's getting hotter. Climate, trying to deal with the impacts of climate change are a big part of our work.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think next on the list of objectives was supporting river and fish species restoration. What kinds of restoration projects are we talking about here?
Yeah, the biggest thing that we're involved with is just trying to keep water flowing in the river. I mean, the best thing you can do for a fish is to have water. I know that sounds silly, but fish need water. And so by stopping...
That's a profound point.
Yeah, I know. By stopping dams and diversions and keep rivers flowing, you protect and restore fish species. So that's the biggest thing that we do involved in kind of restoration projects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see it all fits together really well. Well, finally, on the list, and I should have mentioned the actual URL. It's just savethecolorado.org. Is that right?
That's right, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so finally... on the list of Save the Colorado objectives was removing deadbeat dams. And I know this is one of your specialties, Gary, and why don't you tell our listeners exactly what a deadbeat dam is and how you go about getting one removed.
Sure. So, dams, of course, block rivers, and they not only block fish and block the water, they also block sediment and vegetation and all sorts of things that flow up and down the river. And so removing a dam can have a tremendous positive impact for the ecological health of a river. So we've been involved in some dam removal projects. The biggest deadbeat dam, which is a dam that really doesn't perform any necessary function anymore. You would call it deadbeat dam. And the term got coined by the company Patagonia, and you probably have heard of them. They get involved a lot in dam issues and dam fighting. And then one of our board members is named Dan Beard, and Dan is the former commissioner of the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation, appointed by President Clinton. And he wrote a book called Deadbeat Dams, Why We Need to Abolish the Bureau of Reclamation and Tear Down Glen Canyon Dam. And so one of our campaigns is about Glen Canyon Dam, which, of course, is a massive dam down in Arizona, the second largest reservoir in the United States. We've filed a lawsuit about the dam, and we're involved in trying to, helping remove it over time. We think it's a deadbeat dam because it not only no longer performs its function of providing water supply, but it actually kind of stops the system from working efficiently. And it primarily now is used for hydroelectric power. And there's so much smarter, faster, cheaper, and easier ways to generate electricity than destroying rivers that we believed Glen Canyon Dam is a deadbeat dam.
Yes, it sounds like a damn deadbeat. Well, those last two objectives really fit together like a glove, too. I remember... back in the late 90s, myself and Paul Krausman and Pat Devers down at the University of Arizona, we were looking at the causes of species endangerment in the United States, and I think we broke it down into 18 categories, and some of the top ones, for example, are urbanization, agriculture, domestic livestock and ranching. The number six on the list was reservoirs and other running water diversions, but it was primarily dams. At the time, it looks like there were about 200 species, somewhere between 160 and 204, about 200 species that were endangered, threatened or endangered by that category, reservoirs and other running water diversions. And I wanted to ask you about some of the related findings. For example, of those 200, 50 were concurrently endangered by agriculture. So that shows, I think, the tight relationship of these dams to irrigation projects and so on. But a surprising finding, at least to me is kind of surprising, was that the closest linked other cause of endangerment was pollution. It looks like of the species that were endangered by pollution, there were about 142 of those. 53 were concurrently endangered by reservoirs and other running water diversions. Can you, you have any insights to that linkage between those two causes of endangerment?
Well, what often happens when you put a dam on the river is you block fish species from being able to migrate up and down the river, obviously. And so that's what usually causes them to die off, be endangered. There are four endangered species in the Colorado River. It's a huge issue, and there's been hundreds of millions of dollars of federal money spent trying to keep these fish alive. You know, what often happens also with a dam and a water, it's also a water diversion project. Mm-hmm. And so it's very common that you'll build a dam, or, you know, agencies will build a dam and they'll divert the water out of the river. And so there's very little water left in the river. And the water that's left in the river is often very polluted because, you know, the amount of pollution that runs off from farms or cities still goes into the river, but there's much less water in the river to dilute it. And so you often get, concurrent, as you call them, examples where diverting water out of river and pollution, pollution increases as the amount of water, quantity of water goes down. So there can be all sorts of interplay there between pollution, dams, and endangered species.
Yeah, I see, right? Makes sense. Well, how about we talk a little bit about you personally? You know, your website, GaryWachner.com, features a miniature bio and which describes you running wild, both as a child in Illinois and as an adult in Colorado. Can you talk a little bit about what that means to you?
Sure. I mean, you know, I grew up along a river in a little, muddy little farm town in central Illinois, and rivers kind of always flow through my life a little bit. And then increasingly, as I got older. I started protecting rivers about 20 years ago on the Cache-Laputa River in northern Colorado in Fort Collins, because there is a proposal for a big dam there, and we're still fighting that one. Huh. And then we started the Save the Colorado campaign. And then about 6 years ago, I started working more globally, and I would do some work with the Waterkeeper Alliance, which is based in New York City. And we've started a global dam fighting campaign too. And so I've had the great fortune the last 6 years or so to travel quite a bit around the world, helping local groups also fight dams and propose dams mostly. And so, you know, I've been to the Mekong River in Thailand, the Medanyan River in Peru, the Karnali River in Nepal, and, you know, quite a few others where there's huge proposed dams being built and local groups on the ground are trying to protect the rivers and protect their local quality of life. So wow. It's become, you know, an adventure that started in a little farm town in Illinois, you know, almost 60 years ago.
Yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But you know what, Gary? We have to take a short non-commercial break now, and we'll let Rick Tibbetts give us a message here.
Hi there. We hope you're enjoying the show. Did you know that in addition to this podcast, you can stay up to date with the Steady State Economy on social media? Cassie has its own Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn pages where we share new Steady State Herald articles, podcast episodes, news about the degrowth movement, and important organizational announcements every week. You can find us on Facebook and LinkedIn by searching Center for the Advancement of the Steady State Economy in the search box and on Twitter at Steady State Econ. The at being the at symbol and Steady State Econ being all one word. Be sure to like and follow our pages and share them with your network to spread the word and raise awareness of the need for a steady state economy. Now, Back to the show.
You might say you've had a bit of an unconventional path. It said in the bio you had you took the 9-year plan to your PhD. You dropped out of college 3 times and then went back for your master's and PhD. And if you don't mind my asking, what was it that kept you driving forward to get to finally finish that off? Was it, it sounds like it's your concern for those rivers and the species and these great ecosystems.
Yeah, well, I'm a bit of a contrarian, as you might expect, because I believe in the steady state economy, so that puts us all automatically in a contrarian place, on the planet. I didn't go through college on a straight line. I haven't really done anything on a straight line, I guess, and so it's been an adventure through my educational programs, but then afterwards, too, I worked in academics for a while, then in government and nonprofit work as an activist for the last 20 years. Kind of to the point of your organization, we live in a world, of course, and in an economy in the United States, and especially here in Colorado, the entire economy is based on growth. And, you could even quite honestly call it a Ponzi scheme of growth. Because the whole thing is just based on continual growth. And of course, they were just devouring the landscape and devouring the rivers. And so, to get an actual environmental activist like myself to say that out loud is a contrarian viewpoint. Most environmental groups don't do that. They don't say it. They don't face that kind of issue. They just kind of go along with the growth mentality and try to mitigate the problems or try to adapt to them. Again, I wander around a little bit circuitously through my education and kind of come to my own independent conclusions. And, I think you and your organization are just right on the spot where you need to be. This is where we need to go with a steady state economy and just to get away from the growth insanity that's devouring the natural world around us, including our rivers.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And that's one of the reasons we appreciate you and your work so much. We noticed a blog post that you had. It's time to talk about population growth, and I think you said there that you decided to make fighting growth and normalizing the topic of population growth the mainstay of your work for the remainder of your career. That certainly resonates with me. I made a similar decision about 20 years ago, and we got to keep up the fight. What are some of the other avenues that you see in addition to pointing out the threats of growth to rivers and river species and so on? Are there some other strategies or tactics for advancing population stabilization and the steady state economy?
Well, I think in the United States as a whole, and especially in a place like Colorado, we're just seeing devastating impacts to growth because of growth, and the impact to our rivers are only one of those. Some of the rivers in Colorado are drained completely dry part certain times of the year, and so. I try to point those out to the public, in a place like Colorado that's growing rapidly, we're having, continuing problems and, accelerating problems with traffic jams, with air pollution, with impacts to natural areas and protected areas. And we're also increasingly seeing what I would call the recreational economy has its own impacts. I mean, just devastating crowds and trailheads, national forests, and national parks here in the West. It's all accentuated during the coronavirus lockdowns because people aren't traveling internationally.
And right.
They're staying around. And, I think we're seeing in a place like Colorado, we're seeing more and more of that in the newspaper. There's more and more attention being placed on it by the public, I think. And, I don't know if we're at a turning point yet, but it's certainly... it's certainly something to hear about more often. Colorado's a fascinating place. I know about a month ago, you had one of our former governors, Dick Lamb, on the show. And Dick was, one of the kind of inspirational in the beginning of the fight against growth in the state of Colorado. And it's kind of ebbed and flowed over the years and gone up and down, but there's still some of us trying to fight the fight.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned the pressures caused by outdoor recreation in Colorado and, nationwide, going back to those causes of endangerment. We found that, believe it or not, to be the fourth biggest cause of species endangerment in the United States, right in between agriculture and domestic livestock and ranching activities. So it certainly is a huge problem. And as you know, it kind of puts the lie to that notion that there's some sort of service economy or green tourism that's going to save us and allow for GDP growth and conservation at the same time. It's just an astounding example of the poverty of that kind of thinking. Yeah, you've written a few books, Gary. Which one would you most recommend to our listeners?
I compiled a bunch of my writings a while back in a book called River Warrior, Fighting to Protect the World's Rivers. And it's been a few years ago now, but it included some of my adventures around the planet, working with local groups, protecting rivers and fighting dams. You know, back to one other thing you just said, you talked about, species endangerment. I think we are seeing in the United States an increased focus on biodiversity conservation. And, my congressman here in the 2nd District of Colorado is named Joe Neguse. Congressman Neguse just introduced a bill yesterday in the U.S. Senate about what's called the 30 by 30 campaign, which is trying to protect 30% of the United States by the year 2030. And there's also a corollary effort trying to protect 50 by 50, so 50% of the United States lands and waters by the year 2050. And so there's an increasing awareness about how growth is kind of devouring the landscape and causing the endangerment of species, and especially around the issue of biodiversity and river protection. So there has been some, there's increasing conversation. It's not quite making a big impact yet, but, there's a little bit of cause for hope.
Yeah, there is. And there's always hope. Hope springs eternal, as they say, But yeah, those campaigns you just mentioned, those certainly are some of our better examples. Well, that book sounds great, and you've got that, you've got the websites, and I know that one of our mutual interests, which you alluded to at least a few minutes ago, is the failure of the big conservation NGOs to deal with limits to growth and the conflict between economic growth and environmental protection. And Gary, I think that's going to warrant another episode with you. How would you like to come back onto the show in a couple months or so, and we'll talk about that topic?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. It's very unfortunate, but some of the environmental groups promote growth, and It's the thing that is literally devouring the environment. So there's a whole story there. It's political, it's financial, it's about donors and capitalism and corporate sellout of the American environmental movement. That'd be a nice controversial topic to dig into.
Absolutely. Well, I'll look forward to that. Well, Gary, thanks so much for joining us this morning on the Steady Stater podcast. I wish there were more of you out there saving the Colorado and generally having fun in the process. So meanwhile, Gary, keep up the good work.
Thanks for having me on, Brian.
Well, folks, that about wraps her up. We've been talking with Gary Wachner, the PhD environmental geographer, who's a world-class authority on river protection and dam removal especially. If you're blessed enough to see a wild stretch of the Colorado River, don't forget about Gary and his nonprofit organization, Save the Colorado. And remember, too, that saving rivers takes a steady state economy. With that, I'm Brian Check, and you've been listening to the Steady Stater Podcast. See you next time.